It's here and now. On the Today Show recently, President Obama explained how he and the First Lady keep their two daughters from getting tattoos.
What we've said to the girls is, if you guys ever decide you're going to get a tattoo, then Mommy and me will get the exact same tattoo in the same place, and we'll go on YouTube and show it off as a family tattoo.
Well, they shouldn't be surprised if the girls say, okay. A recent Pew study found that almost a third of people between the ages of 18 and 25 have tattoos. There's been an explosion in tattooing styles as more art school graduates end up in tattoo shops. Tattoos aren't about rebellion anymore. They are about art. Amanda Wacob is a tattoo artist with a BFA from the State University of New York, SUNY Purchase. She joins us from the Argo Studios in New York. Also with us, Paul Nathan. He represents another trend of note. In Williamsburg, a neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, tattooing has become something of a local industry. He is a photographer. His book is called Generation Ink. You can see some of the portraits he's taken at hereandnow.org as we welcome both Paul and Amanda.
Hi.
Hi there.
And Paul, let's start with you, a native of New Zealand, by the way, but living in Williamsburg. I'm just picking a photograph just so people understand we're not talking about a little daisy on your shoulder anymore. Let's look at page 16. Billy Braun, 24. Describe his tats.
Okay, so he's got a big elephant head on his stomach, a shark with his mouth open on his chest. He's got cobwebs in his armpits and home deck on his knuckles.
Home deck.
Yeah. Just to mention a few.
Yeah.
And apart from that, there's, you know, heads and skulls and snakes and, you know, bits and pieces.
Well, what I found so interesting in reading the introduction, and we'll have a lot of these pictures at hereandnow.org, is that the elephant head, it spans his entire stomach below his chest. Beautiful detail. It might mean nothing. It might just be an elephant head.
Yeah, and I think it probably is just an elephant head. I think he probably just really liked it, and so that's what he got. You know, there's a design aspect to it, and I think, you know, that design aspect, you know, obviously is very much what Amanda does.
Well, Amanda, describe your style. Because I was reading about a tattoo convention and artists were recognizing the work of other artists. So what would your style be?
I would have to say that it's experimental. So much of the time you see tattoos as being representational images, and I started to see a lot of the same designs repeat again and again, and it just made me wonder that tattooing is supposed to be such a personal thing, such a personal expression, and if people are just getting the same designs over and over, what does that mean? So I was researching abstract expressionism. I was looking at Helen Frankenthaler and a lot of Hans Hofmann specifically, thinking that so many of the shapes in Hans Hofmann's paintings was that they were rectangles and they were squares. And I started to wonder if that was because the surface that he was painting on was actually dictating the shapes that he would paint on the canvas. And then I started to think about if he were going to make an abstracted shape on something that wasn't a square or a rectangle, what would that shape look like? And then it dawned on me that maybe that was something that I could explore with tattooing.
Wow. Which, right there, you explain that it isn't just, you know, your grandfather's tattooing anymore. By the way, you said abstract. Can you give us an idea of what one of the designs might look like?
I was doing a lot of designs using kind of a paintbrush and exploring the idea of a paintbrush. So a lot of my tattoos have sort of a brush-stroked effect. And I'm doing a lot of things now with ink spills and ink swirls and starting to kind of translate that into a tattoo.
What does it mean, Amanda, that people like you, fine artists, are moving into tattooing?
I think more people getting into tattooing that have some sort of art background or art training can only make it stronger and can only sort of push it along a little bit further. But, you know, the traditional sort of tattoo look, American tattoo look, is also, you know, still going strong and very popular and very classic.
And what's that? You mean skulls and I Love Mom kind of tradition?
Sure. Thick black outline, heavy black shading, pinups and skulls and daggers and snakes and swords, all of those things.
Okay, well, can I now ask the questions that I'm told that people with tattoos hate being asked. You know, I just ask, you know, it does hurt, right?
It does. That's part of the fun of it.
Well, and then, Paul, the question always is, what if you make yourself this monumental work of art, and then 10 years later, you don't want it? I mean, I'm looking, page 50, Frank Palumbo, 26.
Yeah.
He's covered, and he literally says, I think of my tattoos as a scrapbook of stamps that represent who I was or what I was feeling at a certain time in my life. He's sort of running out of room for the stamps.
Yeah.
And what you know, what if you decide, you know what, I'm not that person anymore, that angel on the shoulder or whatever it is. But there you have it.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who's not tattooed and really kind of an outsider, you know, I kind of admire them. They live in the now. They're really not thinking about 10 years down the track. They're saying, okay, I'm here now, and this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, I really admire their commitment, if anything else.
I don't think that there's much of a point in regretting something that's permanent. So tattoos wind up becoming more like a birthmark that you carry with you than maybe you feel like you've always had.
One last quick question to both of you. Tattooing was once seen as rebellion. And we think back to President Obama and his daughters, you know, this idea that he thinks that it might be an act of rebellion, but it might not. They might be happy with their parents getting a tattoo as well. They might see it as art, which is the thinking today. If this isn't seen as rebellion as much anymore, do you have a sense of what might be next that might replace it?
I think society's changing. You know, I mean, I'm not that old. I'm kind of in my mid-40s, but it's not like it used to be. You know, it's no longer, you know, a limitation. You're kind of an outsider if you're not tattooed in creative industries. You know, it's been such a shift in what's acceptable and what's not. You know, there's a few people in our neighborhood that have tattoos on their cheeks, and I don't know. I think that's probably the next thing, which... Yeah, it's kind of takes it to another level, I feel. I don't know how Amanda feels about that.
I've definitely noticed more facial tattoos. I still do tend to think of it as being sort of a rebellious thing to do, though, even if you're not getting your face tattooed. You know, I think if you live in Williamsburg, maybe it's not going to be seen as being so rebellious, but... you know, visiting a friend on the Upper West Side in the summertime, walking around in a T-shirt, you know, I definitely am reminded that I'm tattooed.
What tattoos do you have, Amanda?
My right arm is sleeved in designs from the early 1900s from old sheet music. I have a large hawk killing a snake, an Audubon print. I have asterisks on the top of my feet, which mean footnotes. I definitely like a lot of antique vintage ephemera, so usually anything from the early 1900s, and I'm sold.
Amanda Wacob, tattoo artist. Paul Nathan, a photographer, both based in Brooklyn. And Amanda, I understand you're going to draw us a Here and Now tattoo. Can't wait to see that. It'll be at Here and Now. And, of course, we'll post information about Paul's terrific new book, Generation Inc. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
In a rose tattoo, I got your name written here in a rose tattoo.
And by the way, you may have heard about the new NPR tattoos, temporary, of course, for people with one too many mugs. We'll link you to information about that at hereandnow.org as well. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what this week brings here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. As the Boston bombing investigation continues, we'll speak with Muslims who want to tell us what they think their role is in monitoring members of their mosque. Also, niceness. Why do we applaud? Romans used to shake their togas. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.